Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show, and thank you for joining us again. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Sheriff Chip Hughes.
Glenn Fink.
Kim Fink.
Now, where are we going, Mary?
We are very fortunate today to have Sheriff Hughes with us, and we're going to start out by asking him what he sees as the major challenges to Craven County right now.
Right. Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me. It's always an honor or privilege to sit here and speak with you fine folks, as we all are like-minded and have the same concerns. So, you know, the biggest concerns in Craven have been some of the same for quite some time. You know, the continued opioid epidemic that we deal with, and I think to call it an epidemic is putting it lightly, because when you have a chemical or a poison like fentanyl that has taken more lives in our United States than anything else, you know, that is public enemy number one. And whereas I know we cannot enforce our way out of it, like I've said many times before, it's my job as your sheriff to do exactly what you elected me to do, and that's to make sure that Craven County is a safe place for us to live, work, and raise our families. And we do that by very aggressive enforcement actions in regards to those that feel it's okay to bring this poison into our county and distribute it. So I would say, you know, once again, right now, at the forefront is the fentanyl that we're dealing with. And, you know, let me also say that why we're dealing with the fentanyl at the levels that we are. It's because that this administration, the Biden administration, has chose to open up the borders to illegals and the cartel, who, by the way, is running the border, and allowing them to bring astronomical amount of controlled substances into our United States freely, without fear of being accosted by law enforcement at the border when they're coming in.
Mm-hmm. And in many, many forms, if I understand.
Oh, many forms. I mean, pills, powder. It's coming in many forms that you wouldn't recognize it. The pills that are coming in, I mean, look just, I mean, like a prescription Oxycontin, oxycodone. Many of those that are lawfully prescribed, and on the face of it, it looks like a prescribed pill. However, it is loaded with poison, and, you know, one pill could take all, 6, 7 of us out in no time.
Don't they have pills that are pastel colored for the kids?
They do. A lot of this is targeted toward the youth, by the colors, and the colors that resemble an ecstasy pill or with the same markings and branding on them. I mean, it's a very well-organized business that the cartel runs, and make no mistake about it, they're here. We have incarcerated many of them in major drug trafficking cases, mm-hmm. And sent them back. They got a little bit more than a written promise. I mean, we incarcerated and convicted them, and they have many, many years. And once we will never see them. I will never see them in my lifetime, and none of y'all will, so we won't have to deal with them again. However, they were documented cartel members that were trafficking narcotics into our county.
This is kind of a naive question, but does anyone actually take fentanyl on purpose?
Unfortunately, they do.
And there's a dose that won't kill them, that will just...
Well, you've got to remember now, this is not something that, one, is being prescribed by a physician, mm-hmm. and being administered by a pharmacist, mm-hmm. with a certain dosage unit having a certain level of this painkiller in it. This is something that is being sold by a thug, transported by a thug, and distribute it to our people, that, and they don't care. So no chemist sits down and goes, okay, we can't put more than this in there because this is going to kill an 80-pound 16-year-old, mm-hmm. or 15-year-old. They don't think about all that. And when you think about, well, that's not a very good business plan, you know, to kill off my customers. Well, unfortunately, the demand for it, because as I've been told by those that are incarcerated and have been, you know, you've overdosed 5 times, every time it's been on fentanyl. You know, it's Russian roulette every time you put this into your body, whether it's pill form, whether you inject it, smoke it, whatever. Why do you keep doing it? Most of the time, it's Sheriff, I can't begin to tell you what it's like. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm having a hard time comprehending that because, you know, you don't want to die, but you are clearly playing Russian roulette every time you choose to ingest this, and you know what you're getting. Now, many of these dealers, once again, will sell this stuff as, well, this is heroin, or this is meth, or this is cocaine. And because it's been cut down so many times, they put a little bit of fentanyl in there, which gives it the same kick or high, if you will, as, you know, the cocaine would have or the meth would have alone. But they've cut it down so many times to increase profit margins that it is now a very, very hot dosage of fentanyl. And there's really, once we get to them and they've overdosed, there's really nothing we can do about that.
You know, Narcan? Do you have Narcan?
We do. We do. And, you know, unfortunately, we distribute it all the time, or administer it all the time. Mm-hmm. Initially, my deputies were carrying it because to protect us, because drug dealers and couriers will put it on their packages, and they will throw it on my deputies, and my deputies have been exposed to it and have had to go to the ER to seek treatment because they passed out.
Ooh.
So initially, we carried it to protect ourselves from that kind of stuff. However, we end up more times using it on those when we run up on someone that has been exposed purposely to it. Yes, ma'am.
With the drug dealers and gangs and cartels, there's got to be some overlap of people in these groups. Is there also the gang war kind of thing that we see in some of the larger metropolitan cities?
We, you know, gangs now are not as obvious. You know, it's not the blue and the red, and, you know, you don't cross into this. They are much more discreet. We do a very good job of tracking them and identifying them and doing debriefings with them and stuff like that. So it's not as it was, you know, 25 years ago in L.A. No, we don't see the activity that some of your urban areas do.
So they don't have the turf wars like you see in some, okay.
Not as much, no ma'am. You know, you will see certain markings on certain buildings, and that will indicate that a gang or affiliate of a gang or something is operating in that area where it's been there. But you don't see that as much as you did years ago, where, you know, you don't go to South Central, you know, this Compton over to this avenue, and because that's the Bloods or the Crips or whatever, right. MS-13.
Well, are there any, like, no-go zones around New Bern like there are in other areas where it's really extremely dangerous for anybody in law enforcement to go to because of the criminal activity?
We do have some areas that are more conducive to criminal activities than others. And those areas we do spend a lot of time in. I mean, we do smart policing. With the limited resources that you have, I'm big on data. I'm data-driven. So when you have limited resources, you look at the areas, the hot spots, the areas where you have the most crime. And we do crime analysis and crime projection. So we've got a science down pretty much to where we can map and look at crime trends, dates and times during the days, which days this is more likely to happen, and that's where we put our resources.
Then do you ever get in trouble for, quote, profiling, because that data would lead you to those places and conclusions?
And we're not, you know, the only people we're profiling are criminals.
Amen.
You know, the law-abiding citizen, one has nothing to worry about. I mean, they're abiding the law. You know, we've got to have probable cause to stop and arrest, or reasonable suspicion to stop and probable cause to arrest, and we adhere to that. That's the safeguard that the Constitution put in place, and we operate within that because we like getting convictions.
Right. Well, everything, even from the school board, when you're talking about discipline in the school board, you will get some of the the quote, underserved community folks telling you that they are being disproportionately targeted or punished when it's the same data. We're going to the place and to the people that are doing it. And if they're all the same nationality or the same color or the same whatever, it's difficult to say, I'm just going after the criminal, not the...
So
when they, excuse me, Sheriff, when they call it underserved community, that's your clue they're woke.
So, you know, to me, I don't care what color you are, where you're from. You know, if you're breaking the law and you're bringing harm to our people in Craven County, you know, we're going to go after you.
Amen.
And we're going to use, just like the defense attorneys do to get them off, we're going to use every law within our... at our disposal and every tool at our disposal to interdict and lock them up. And we are very successful, and I'll tell you, I'll brag on the men and women of the sheriff's office. They're very good at what they do. And, you know, we can get into this a little bit more. You know, it's I'm not targeting any one nationality, any one race, color, whatever. I'm going after criminals, whether you're white, black, blue, green, whatever. If you're a criminal, you're the ones we're going after. And, you know, they're going to give us a reason to get them. That's just what they do. They make mistakes, and we have to be patient, and we have to be good at our craft, and we are. We spend a lot of time training. We spend a lot of time exchanging information, looking at data, and we deploy our forces where they're most needed. And as a result of that, we continue to drop the crime rate in this county. And we continue to make this a very difficult place for them to operate.
Very good. Well, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in Newbern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in Newbern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in Newbern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, Newbern.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Sheriff, you want to?
Yes. You know, anytime I get a chance to brag on the men and women in my office, I'm going to. So, you know, I want to talk about the crime rate and how we have consistently brought the crime rate down in this county. Very impressive numbers, you know, double digits each year. The, you know, not only the violent crimes, but the property crimes. A lot of the property crimes, you know, this is, everything is connected. A lot of the property crimes and a lot of the violent crimes have to do directly with the drug trade. So when we make it very difficult for them to operate here, then unfortunately, I don't believe in moving the problem, but my responsibility is Craven County. not other counties. I can tell you they don't operate freely in Asa Bucks County, Carteret, or Chris Davis's county in Pamlico, and they don't here. So they choose other places to operate. Now, they do come in here because, I mean, we've got, you know, unfortunately, we've got people that have the addiction. But once again, my job and my people's job is to make this very difficult for them to operate here as much as I would like to eradicate it. You just can't. You can't. So, you know, by our efforts, our very aggressive efforts in the enforcement action, we continue to drop the crime rate. And because it is directly related to the drugs, you know, people are going to come and steal from you to fuel their addiction. People are going to shoot each other as a result of a drug deal gone bad. Those are things that are going to happen. Those are just part of the criminal nexus that runs in this, you know, vicious cycle of drugs. All that runs hand in hand. Yes, sir.
You mentioned, Sheriff, that the that you operate, try to use as much data about where the crimes are occurring and use your staff to kind of sniff that out and so on. I was wondering, there are other, like you mentioned, just mentioned, there are crimes that are more property crimes that are really maybe motivated by drug dealers or drug addicts who need the money to do that, so they start breaking and entering or they start stealing cars or whatever. Is there any way that a citizen in Craven County who lives in a certain neighborhood can find out, for example, what the crime rate is or in their particular neighborhood? For example, I live in a gated community, and we spend a lot of money for gate security. And my question becomes, is that expenditure actually producing a lower crime rate than perhaps in a similar community doesn't have that security? I mean, just to get an idea of what's comparing communities so we can perhaps assist you if crime's going up for some reason, maybe citizens working closer with your being more alert can, you know, help your sheriff's department to address that.
So, you know, when we talk about property crimes, a lot of that is, well, let's just take, for instance, a gated community in this county, and I know of one in particular that I'm very familiar with. You know, the majority of the crime there is property crime. There's not violent crimes that go on there. Right. It is where, honestly, where someone's left their car unlocked and have left valuables in plain view, laptop, a weapon, money, jewelry, that sort of stuff. Unfortunately, society now, unlike 30 years ago when I could park my car in my driveway and not have to worry about locking it or even locking my door, we can't do that now, even if you're in a gated community.
Right.
I think you and I both know certain gate community, you can walk 50 yards down the street from that gate and walk right into the community, you know, so it is gated. And that is a small deterrent if the criminal is going to drive a car into your community.
Sure.
But if they choose to park the car somewhere else and walk in, then it's really not.
Yeah.
So I would say to, you know, one, secure your stuff. If you're going to be out of town, you know, you hear these things, you know, leave some lights on, have someone check, don't let your mail stack up, keep your shrubs neatly trimmed around the windows. I really encourage the cameras, the door ring bells, and adequate lighting around your property. Don't make it look like it's being lived in and someone is there on a regular basis, as opposed to out of town. You know, folks will get on social media very quickly and go, I'm in Italy for 2 weeks. Man, this is great. And guess what? Then they're surprised when they come home and someone has broken into their house. And, well, you put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an invitation to criminals. And they watch this. They
post your vacation pictures after you get
afterwards.
Back.
Afterwards, you know.
Well, there were people that were doing that at funeral. They
same
were
thing.
Robbing people's homes when they were...
There has been times when we have sat in driveways of folks while they are in at a funeral. Just because we had reason to believe that something might. Yeah. So we would park a patrol car in the driveway.
When did Craven County start the canine program, and what difference has it made?
So when I went into office in December of 18, there was not a canine program. Okay. They did not exist for the Craven County Sheriff's Office. And we have grown the program over since December of 2018. I brought on Sergeant Hopper, who I think you all...
We love her.
Yes, she's wonderful.
Yes.
She came with her dog, Ringo, and that's what kicked our canine program off. It is something that Sergeant Hopper and I had talked about for years before I got into office, because every sheriff and police administrator that I respect because of their proven ability, their merit, and the things that they were accomplishing in their counties and municipalities in regards to drug enforcement told me, they said, to have a proactive, successful drug program, you have to deploy canines. Mm-hmm. You have to. Obvious reasons. Where these people are hiding these narcotics are just the average person that has no, I mean, it's, they're very good at deception. They're very good at concealment, finding voids in certain cars, building compartments. The Dominicans wrote the book on concealed compartments in vehicles. So, you know, anytime, you know, we stop a vehicle and there's someone from the Dominican in there, then, you know, I do know for a fact from my training, my expert testimony in court, recognized by judicial officials for my interdiction efforts, that Dominicans are known for being able to build compartments that go into vehicles where contraband and illegal narcotics, weapons, money are stored. So that's another indicator. That's not your probable cause. That's an indicator through your training and knowledge as a law enforcement officer that we might need to be looking for something here. They're very good at it. That's their craft. So... but, you know, to date, we now have 8 dogs.
Wow.
One of them is a bloodhound, and the other 7 are a dual-purpose patrol / narcotics dog. They are a large or a great bit of our success in regards to narcotics enforcement is because of this canine unit. Obviously, they can smell things we can't. You know, the analogy, like... If I walk into the house and, you know, they're cooking beef stew and me and the dog walk in and I'm like, golly, that's the beef stew, Mom. I love that. The dog's going to look at me and go, yeah, but there's no carrots in it. That's just kind of, you know, and an old canine operator shared that with me to kind of give you an idea of how sensitive their nose, you know. Yeah, you got the beef, you got the celery, you got the onions, you got the... But there's no carrots in there. So that's how good they are. And, you know, it's that's how we find the hidden compartments, that along with our training. And, you know, the canine operators, for lack of better words, they're a rare breed. They are so passionate about what they do, and they trust their dogs. And if their dog says there's dope in that car, there is either dope in that car right now or it's been in there recently. Mm-hmm. Or there's something that's been around that dope.
Yep.
And it's our job to figure out exactly where it is and retrieve it.
I would think that the dogs would act as a great mental deterrent towards any drug activity at school for the kids, mm-hmm. just the intimidation factor.
Yeah. Now, they never know when we're bringing them.
Right.
We do run dogs at schools, and that's not announced, obviously, by design.
Right.
We show up, and we do what we have to do, and unfortunately, we do find things, you know, so... but, you know, the canine program, that's where I'm proud of all the bureaus that we started. That is one that, along with Animal Protective Services, are the two bureaus that I did start. And I've got the right people running them. And the things that they've done, the kilos of narcotics that they've taken off the street, the dosage units that they've taken off the street, the weapons, the money that they've seized, which, by the way, a lot of it comes back to our office, that we use to buy equipment that we don't have to put in our budget. Mm-hmm. We use it for training. We use it for buy money to buy bad narcotics off the street. That's stuff that the taxpayers does not have to fund. what they've done, the lives that are saved as a result of that, the Animal Protective Services Bureau, which was non-existent, the thousands of animals that we have rescued and found good homes for. The men and women of these bureaus have just done a fantastic job, and we started from nothing. All of our dogs have been donated. Either the funds for the dog to purchase the dogs have been donated, or the dog itself has been donated to our office. Now, we do have to provide the car and, in many cases, the training and the uniform, and we have to pay the salary of the deputy.
And the food.
And the food. Well, the food has been donated. Many of the medical costs for each of them have been donated. The animal shelter now actually assists us with the medical care of our animals. So there's a lot of things that are working really good now that were not years ago.
Partnerships.
Partnerships, and that's what it's about. You know, it's like when there was a good bit of talk about the animal shelter and the things that were going on there, clearly not the way it needed to be run. And I was prepared to take that shelter. It wasn't that I needed another thing to do, because at the end of the day, I just wanted it run right. And it was not being. It is now. And I will give credit where credit is due. Putting a veterinarian in that shelter was one of the best things the county could have done. There are many more dogs now, and cats and animals in general, that are being saved and not being euthanized. There is no time clock when an animal walks in that door now. Okay. They're not on automatic death watch.
And oh, good.
You've got 5 days, or you've got 2 days, or you got one, or you have no time.
Wow.
So that does not go on now. They work very closely with rescues in my office, and that's the way it should be.
Good.
So.
And we have heard phenomenally good things about the changes.
Yes.
And there's also a chance that sometimes there's I've seen flights taking yes. some of the rescues.
That stuff was not happening before.
Yeah.
That wasn't. And I will tell you, like I said, I will give credit where credit is due. The county did that one right. And I am very pleased with the working relationship between my office and that shelter. And I was very cautiously optimistic.
That's well, excellent. It got turned quick.
Yeah,
it was in the ditch deep, yep. and that's a very good success story.
Yes.
Yep. All right. Well, folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
CCTA Wake Up Call airs Saturday at 6 a.m., some days at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. on WTKF 107.1.
Again, thank you for staying with our sponsors and supporters and listening to us. Mary, you wanted to go for slightly different?
I just was going to ask Chip about all the vape shops that have been opening up.
Yeah. Well, you know, opening up and closing. So, and you know what? That's a problem, not just in Craven County, but many counties throughout North Carolina. And it's, you know, and let me just preface this with, I'm very pro-small business. I am. And provided you're going to operate correctly and not sell illegal merchandise and not target our children with poison, then we're probably going to be fine. However, with the overwhelming majority of the vape stores and tobacco shops that we have in Craven County are selling illegal product. They are selling what they call flower. Not so much. It's straight up marijuana. We have purchased a lot of it and sent it off, and it comes back hot, well above the legal limit. They're selling drug paraphernalia. They are selling vapes to children. They are selling edibles and vapes with CBD to children that are specifically targeted and marketed toward children. We have charged every vape store in Craven County except for two, and there's a couple that are operating the way they should. And we have no problem with them. They're not selling trademark and counterfeit infringement items. When you're selling a edible that's called Oreo cookie, and it looks like an Oreo cookie, and it smells like an Oreo cookie, but yet it's packed full of CBD, and our kids are ingesting it and having to go to the emergency room and urgent care, that's a problem. And I can tell you this was brought to my attention about a year and a half ago when a couple family members came to my office with a handful of vapes and edibles that their 14-year-old and 15-year-old had bought from vape shops here in New Bern and wanted to know what I was going to do about it. And that's when we put together a plan to address this criminal activity. And since then, we have been aggressively enforcing the laws in regards to counterfeit and trademark infringement, sale of not only alcohol, but tobacco products to underage children, sale of illegal merchandise, sale of drugs, prescription drugs, contact lenses, possession of weapons by convicted felons, a number of different violations in these stores. We have a number of them that are currently pending in court, and we have more cases that are going to be coming. We are constantly taking out warrants for arrest for the owner of these stores. And when they ask me, well, what do you want me to do? My response is, I want you to move out of Craven County. That's what I want you to do. And not target our children with clearly packages called Girl Scout cookies, Skittles, Cocoa Puffs, Fruity Pebbles. These are things that are Lucky Charms, Golden Grahams. These are all cereals, a lot of them by General Mills. All of these are trademarked, which means you can't sell them. Mm-hmm. You can't take a CBD cereal bar that's packed full of CBD above the 0.03 legal limit many times, package it in what's called Golden Grahams to resemble a Golden Graham cereal bar and sell it to a 14-year-old or anyone. That's illegal. And the analogy I use is, I never thought I would be enforcing trademark and counterfeit infringement, but that is a law at our disposal. And that is, you know, the poisons that they are selling to our kids in this county. They're doing it by marketing them with these things. It looks like an Oreo cookie. It smells like one. Many kids say it tastes like one till they get about the third or fourth bite, and then they pass out. Oh. And after they have also shared it at a middle school with other kids, and then we have four or five kids going to the ER because they've distributed and ingested these edibles they got from the vape and tobacco shops. And, you know, let me take a little bit further. Ironically, all the ones that are in violation, the overwhelming majority of them, they're from another country. They're from Yemen, who, by the way, right now we're at war with, who are flying drones and missiles into the barracks of our soldiers and Marines and sailors and airmen. The money that they're making from these proceeds of illegal sales are going back to Yemen. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So, absolutely, I'm going after them. Am I targeting Muslims or people from Yemen? No, I'm targeting criminals.
The first clue should be when you look at these vape shops and they have their windows guarded as well as the biggest jewelry stores in town. Mm-hmm. That should be the first clue.
And look, we went in there initially to educate. Here's the law. Then we went in and saw the magnitude of what it is that's being sold, who it's being sold to, the health effects it's having on these children. You know, it's one thing for an adult to go in there. You know you're going in there. This stuff is packed full of chemicals. A lot of it's from China. It's not regulated. If an adult goes in there and buys it, and they, you know, knowingly, that's one thing. But to prey on our children? Because the child that goes in there, on face value, that looks like an Oreo cookie. I mean, exactly like an Oreo cookie. And it says Oreo. You read the fine print, then you really see what's in the cookie. Well, that child's not going to focus on the fine print because that's an Oreo cookie, man. I don't read the package at home. Why am I going to read it when I'm buying here? Now, the fact that it's $25 might be an indicator, but The margins on these things and the amount of money that is being sent back to a country that supports and harbors terrorists, that's another reason I've got a problem with this.
Can I ask a question about the mechanism of these vape shops? Obviously, for example, in North Carolina, we have alcohol beverage control system.
Yes, sir.
It's been in place since the Prohibition. That's the only place you could buy certain types of liquor. It's controlled and okay. It would appear to me that this is even a greater threat. Is there in existence any sort of central control system in North Carolina? And if there isn't, should there be so that these things, it sounds to me like anybody could open up a vape shop and say, all right, I'm your local vape shop, start selling this stuff without it, the controls are minimal or non-existent. Is that perception?
Great questions. And the answer is there is not legislation in place right now to address and regulate this. Now, I will tell you, myself and a number of other sheriffs are working very closely with our legislators. I think we will see in the short session some legislation that helps regulate and gives us more tools. You know, when I kept mentioning trademark and counterfeit infringement, I never thought as a sheriff, I mean, I always knew I'd be enforcing drug laws. Mm-hmm. I never thought, oh, yeah, I'll be enforcing trademark and counterfeit infringement.
Yeah.
I'm really concerned about what Louis Vuitton thinks about a water bong that has its symbol on it. We seize them because Louis Vuitton does not make a water bong.
Uh-huh.
Just like Girl Scout cookies don't make vapes. The Girl Scouts don't sell vapes. They sell cookies. Mm-hmm. You know, so the analogy I use when I tell people is, you know, when the Treasury got Al Capone years ago, they did not get him for murder or bootlegging. They got him for
tax evasion
and mail. Yep.
And he went to prison and died in prison because of that. I'm using counterfeit and trademark infringement until the legislators get legislation in place to actively give us the tools we need to go after them. I'm getting them on these things.
I wanted to ask, because you had mentioned it earlier, about some parents coming to you.
Yes, sir.
How do we encourage parents to see what their kids have?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not trying to spy on them, but sometimes kids have, like you said, an Oreo that costs $25. Well, I never bought Oreos or whatever else.
And look, on face value, and that's the thing, the packaging I mean, until I became an expert on trademark and counterfeit, the packaging is of the Skittles gummies and edibles looks exactly like the packaging of the Skittles candy. The Oreo cookie looks exactly like the Oreo cookie. So, you know, parents need to be involved. But I can tell you, there's probably not any parent that's going to walk in and go, oh, well, that's an Oreo cookie. I probably need to check it to see what the CBD level, THC level is in this cookie, because it might not be an Oreo cookie, even though it looks exactly like an Oreo cookie.
Wow.
The wrapper, the cookie, or these look exactly like Skittles. So really the parent would have to pick it up and look at it and go, oh my gosh, this is not Skittles.
Or to know as a parent, I never bought Oreos.
So
I
mean, that sounds silly, but the ingredients are listed.
Yeah, it will list, you know, that the THC is the active level, but it's going to say it's got a very low level, you know, because the law doesn't allow more than 0.03.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but how do you know it's 0.03?
And how is it,
you know,
is it distributed among the
right
cookies? In other words, do you have one cookie where it's higher and one cookie then it's lower? And
or
how does all
you've
that
got
work?
One cookie, but what you don't see in the fine print is that one cookie to you and I in a normal Oreo cookie is a serving size.
Mm-hmm.
That one cookie is 8 servings.
Oh, okay.
So if you can imagine if a 60-pound, you know,
wow,
7-year-old takes that cookie or 2 or 3 of them to school and decides to give one to a friend and eats that whole cookie themselves, they are going to the ER.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it.
So quick question. When you talked about things that are confiscated that are illegal in some of these vape shops, do we need to be concerned of any terrorist threat with like the weapons that you're finding?
You know what? The answer to that question is going to take me more than 15 seconds.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Do you need to be concerned? No, we're on it. We are. We identify potential threats, and then I'll elaborate a little bit more.
We're going to take a quick break again to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Thank you for staying with us.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Thank you again for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Sheriff, right. You have it.
Let me pick up. I know everybody is anxiously waiting because I left you with not a complete response. So, you know, in regards to, I'm going to say terrorist activity, you know, we do have folks that are operating in this county that are from countries that are that clearly support terrorism. And, you know, we are currently working cases right now on individuals from some of these countries where they are sending money back to that country, Yemen to be, you know, exact. And we all know that this is a country, one, that we are at war with. They are bombing our soldiers, Marines and sailors and airmen. They clearly do not like Americans or what we're about. And, you know, we are tracking that money. We have documented cases where the money specifically goes back there, large amounts of money, and we have seized large amounts of money that would be going there as well. Some of these individuals we have arrested. ICE has been made aware of it. Some of them are no longer in our country. We have had some that we have arrested and taken out charges on. They've made bond and are still no longer in this country. And I don't expect they will come back to their court cases. So at the end of the day, I feel like whether they come back or not really is irrelevant. They're out of our country now, provided, as you know, you mentioned earlier, you know, how do we know this is really their name? We don't know for 100% certainty that it is. I do know that we have had attorneys come to us asking us if we would drop cases because their client is trying to get sworn in as a U.S. citizen. And because of the fact that we have pending charges against them, that will not enable them to get sworn in. And would we be willing to dismiss the charges? I don't think anybody here has to ask me my response. So the response, just for the record, was absolutely not. We will not dismiss any criminal charges against folks that are not even supposed to be here. You know, there is an illegal way to become a citizen, and coming into our country and breaking the laws and poisoning our children and community is not one that's going to get you on the pathway to legalization here.
I have a question about a specific location of a vape store that opened up in what used to be a pharmacy, but it's awful close to that middle school. Mm-hmm. Is there an issue with that?
There is.
Could you expand on that?
There's an issue with it. And then just to let you know that we're very aware of this issue.
I think that would just be, you know, the location of it and the fact that there's a middle school right there. Mm-hmm. It just feels like grooming.
Yeah, you know? it feels like maybe that it's within 1,000 feet of a school.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Seems like there should be a law against that.
Yeah, there is. There is, and they're aware of that.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
So what's the next question? What's the next question?
Okay. What are some of the good things you see for the future of Craven County? Some good things. Let's end on a positive note.
Yeah. Well, you know, I tell you a good thing. We are working on the county budget. For my office, I feel like the budget is a good one. We worked very hard to keep it lean, given the responsibilities that we have. And, you know, I don't have to remind any of you all here. We all know that the number one function of government is to protect its people. Mm. And that's what we're in the business of doing. So, you know, there is a cost associated with that, but it's, you know, we are good steward of the taxpayers' dollars. I did ask for more patrol deputies. I did ask for another narcotics investigator. I think when it's all said and done, I will end up with two patrol deputies. That's going to give me roughly 8 deputies per shift. We need about 10 per shift to cover the 985 square miles. We are doing more with less. However, I will say the commissioners have been very supportive of my office, as you can, you know, see in the past budgets. You know, they do support all of our programs. They've been 100% on board with increasing our SRO force and the resources needed to protect our schools. So, you know, good news is I think from a standpoint of my office, we're going to have a very lean but solid budget that will allow us to continue to be proactive. And for that, I thank the county manager for the hard work of his staff and working with us to keep it streamlined, but yet still enable us to be proactive.
To go with the budget, last week we had Chief Gallagher here, and one of the things we were talking about was the wages and the cost of training and the money that the Sheriff's Department and the city police have to invest in the training of people, and that they put all the money in and then they lose them to larger metropolitans. Is our county competitive wage-wise, or do us normal people need to put pressure on those other people to pay you guys more money?
So it is a problem. You know, I do have to compete against all of the state agencies. I have to compete now against Morehead City Police Department. I am very, you know, I have to compete with New Bern. And counties of like size. You know, it's my understanding a pay study is going to be done. Money is going to be proposed in this budget for a pay study to be done. But I do. It is recruiting and retaining is very difficult. And I'm not willing to just hire anybody. I'm not willing to lower standards to fill positions. So I will go without before we just put a warm body in there.
Well, you know, we like to lobby the legislature for this group does. So whatever we can do to help you guys, let us know.
You know, I would say I'm pleased with the budget. Did I get everything I needed? Absolutely not. Did not. And I'll preface that with saying there's no luxury items in our budget. These aren't things that I would like to have. These are needs. These are what we need to continue to be proactive, to keep up with the crime trends, to keep up with the population and traffic in and through our county, and what we look to accomplish. And I will tell you, I almost hate to say it, but to date, this year, no deaths from overdoses. That's first. Mm. Overdoses are on a drastic decline. That's because we're out there making a difference. We are taking dealers and bad dope off the streets. So the men and women in my office are knocking it out of the park, but they are working very, very hard to do it. But I do. I have to compete with agencies that are paying $10,000 and $15,000 more a year. My deputies, a lot of them work secondary employment to make ends meet. But they're very passionate about what they do. They love Craven County. They love the sheriff's office, and they serve. So we all have bills to pay, but you don't get into public safety to become financially secure.
By the way, Sheriff, I know that we see your cars many, many nights as they're doing the upgrade to Route 70 right here in James City. And thank you for your cars being out there. And also, folks, I just want to let you know that there's a lot more unmarked cars around also. And we see some enforcement on 70, right. And I appreciate that.
You know, unfortunately, our county is fairly high when it comes to traffic collisions. Personal injury and property damage and fatals, you know. So I do have a number of units that are out there that do traffic enforcement, and that is about saving lives. It's not about tickets or, you know, in a perfect world, they would go out there and there would be no written tickets because everybody would be compliant. What they are looking for is hazardous moving violations that cause collisions, drunk drivers, drug drivers. That's what they're looking for. High speeds, following too closely, careless and reckless, drinking and driving, drug driving. Those are the things that they're focusing on. Unfortunately, we get a lot of them.
How do you determine drug driving?
I've got deputies that are trained to be able to recognize the effects of certain narcotics just by the demeanor of the person, speech, dilated pupils, a number of different things.
Means and a remember lot of training.
Yes.
Remember Cheech and Chong? And that movie where they open the car windows?
Yeah, they're not all that obvious.
Okay.
It takes a little bit more, but yeah, there's a lot of training that goes into being a drug recognition expert and being able to testify to that and being able to document exactly what you're seeing and what drugs cause certain impairments and how their mental and physical faculties will react to those drugs. Is that, yes, ma'am.
Relative to your budget, you did mention that you do forfeitures on large amounts of money. Can you give us an idea how much you've received from forfeitures for the last year?
So when we do that, all that is contingent upon the federal government. So if we do, it's got to be a federal case because the state cases, all fines and forfeitures go to the school system. Mm-hmm. School system loves us because we forfeit a lot to them. The federal cases are more complex, so what I received this year is probably going to be from federal cases we made 3 years ago. For it to get through the federal system, people to get sentenced, and then the asset forfeiture process to take place, which it seems like everybody's got to put their hands on, and then 70 to 80% of that will come back to my office. If we worked it alone, all of that comes to my office. If we worked it with other agencies, then it's broken up equally based on the amount of activity that agency had within the case, which is determined by the federal agency that adopted it, DEA, Marshals, Homeland Security.
We didn't like to work with the federal agencies because they didn't want to come in unless there was a large amount of drugs.
That's true.
They don't want to come in, and you may take forever to see any give back on the funds. But in New Mexico, where I was, the DA's office did the forfeitures, and we got 10% of whatever we forfeited. Yeah. The rest went to the county.
Here we have to do it with the feds. But to answer your question, many thousands over the past 5 years. We've used that to buy cars, equipment, training, uniforms, stuff that normally would have to come out of a budget.
Right.
Okay, we actually have about 40 seconds to go. Sheriff, I just want to thank you for staying with us, and I know that we see we've been out to your facility and see like you've got the fuel sponsoring you've got emergency fuel out there, and you're also developing another training range for everybody out there.
They're excited about that.
And we see the upgrades in the radios and what we've got here. Again, I want to thank you for staying with us, and you've opened our eyes a little bit. Appreciate that. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory, come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds. Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.